Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes in caves. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mega Beach in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Long Box guys. My name is Thomas Strange. With me as always are some of my best friends since I was a little kid. Mike, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing excellent tonight, and I have a really big screwdriver.
That's what you say to all the boys.
And I'm drinking a gin and tonic.
Nice. Josh, I know you're trying to get your blood sugar down, so what are you drinking? Are we going to actually name that the Iron Fist?
I think I'm going to name this the Iron Fist. It's actually pretty delicious. It's diet root beer and oak-aged vodka.
I got to get some of this oak-aged vodka. Everyone tells me it's delicious. I'm going to have to call that the Iron Fist for the recipe book we're drinking.
Like cheap scotch. Extra cheap scotch.
Really?
Yeah,
I love the idea of this. I buy this at any liquor store?
Yeah, Absolute makes a version of it. It's pretty cheap.
I will look for it. Tommy, how are you doing, and what are you drinking?
I am not doing that great. I've got a sore throat, so I am drinking Trader Joe's Canadian whiskey because nothing soothes a sore throat like cheap Canadian whiskey from Trader Joe's. And I'm drinking copious amounts of it, so it'll be a fun podcast.
Beat a fever, drown a cold in whiskey. Yeah.
That's what my grandma always used to tell me.
Used to tell me everybody was the devil. Which is apropos, because tonight we're going to be talking about everyone's favorite devil's son, or at least devil's right hand, Ghost Rider. Who wants to give us a little bit about the backstory and the Ghost Rider?
I will. Yeah, I'm volunteering tonight. Yeah, I'm all in.
Before you start, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Am I clear for a flyby?
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
Thank you, Josh. I knew you would get it. Thank you.
So way back in 1967, Marvel Comics, during the, what were we calling that? The Comics Code of Authority days, had a Western comic called The Ghost Rider. The main character was a guy named Carter Slade. He was a two-gun slinging sumbitch in a costume that looked way too much like the Ku Klux Klan. But
with a cowboy hat.
With a cowboy hat. Because the cowboy hat makes all the difference.
It does.
And then years later, the actual guys who came around and started to, like, wow, the Ghost Rider idea, that seems pretty cool. Let's do that. So in 1972 or 73-ish, there was a comic called Marvel Spotlight. And three guys, Gary Friedrich, Roy Thomas, and Mike Plug, made a character called the Ghost Rider. And this was actually a stunt rider.
I'm sorry, Tom, you want to tell us why they could come up with the Ghost Rider in 1972?
Why they could come up with a Ghost Rider in 1972?
And couldn't do it before that?
They couldn't do it before that. Well, there was a moratorium on all things occult. They didn't want to – but I think Josh already kind of touched on that with the comic book's Code of Authority. This was before the comic book's Code of Authority. They had them. During it, they got rid of them, and now they could bring them back. So all the characters like the Son of Satan, even – minor characters like the Tomb of Dracula and stuff were kind of off the table. But Ghost Rider was okay in 72 because CDC was kind of repealed.
Yeah, but Mike's right to call it out because a lot of we I think too often assume that our listeners know or have listened to our previous podcasts and talk about the Comics Code of Authority and how that all sort of got turned around that late in the game. So it's a good idea to tell folks why we're talking about it and why there are transitions.
And it wasn't really turned around. It was just they finally allowed horror characters, which they hadn't done. It wasn't until the late 2000s that they early 2000s that they actually got rid of the Comic Code of Authority.
Yeah, I accidentally called it the CDC instead of the CCD just then. CCB just then. So it wasn't the CDC that put the moratorium.
Okay. I'm coming back to the CDC for my my side out here. But we'll get back to that later in the podcast.
I feel like I could use the CDC right now. So,
briefly, you can also just since we're a little bit on a tangent, the Ghost Rider was also called the Phantom Rider.
Oh no, no, hold on!
Oh no,
jumping ahead, mother butts bucket. See, okay. I even tried to, you know. Anyway, off we go, Ghost Rider. So, in the 70s, those guys recreate the Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze, as a stunt motorcycle driver who sells his soul to the devil to basically save his father's life. And we find out later that he bonds himself to the demon Zarathos. Yeah?
That's how I would say it.
He bonds his soul to Zarathos. And during times of evil that happens in front of him, Johnny Blaze, regardless of his wants or needs, becomes the avenging demon Ghost Rider.
In the very beginning, though, he can only change into the Ghost Rider if innocent blood was shed. This is a limitation he came over very quickly, but it was a horrible limitation for a while because if nobody was bleeding, he couldn't do shite.
So there was there was some vacillation on that, whether or not it was evil done or innocent blood spilt, and they sort of went back depending on who was the controlling writer at the time. That's what happened there. But yeah, and so after Johnny Blaze becomes Ghost Rider, and in his first run, they retcon the original Ghost Rider on horseback to be Phantom Rider. And for those of us who were tortured by the modern movie, we find out that both those characters are in there separately. What's his name? I can't remember the actor's name.
You are not talking about Sam Elliott.
I love Sam Elliott, and he's Carter Slade. Sam Elliott is Carter Slade, but separately, not Sam Elliott comes back as the Horseman Phantom Rider, which is miserable because Sam Elliott is the one true God in all of those movies.
Yes.
Aren't you forgetting Nicolas Cage?
No, nobody forgot Nicolas Cage nor cared.
So quick little aside about the Phantom Rider. Do you remember what they called him originally after the Ghost Rider?
No.
He was actually called in a few comics Knight Rider. But there was a problem with calling him Knight Rider. Tom, you want to explain?
Because there was a car named Kit and a guy by the name of David Hasselhoff. No?
No. That is what they referred to clan members as.
Oh, the Knight Riders. That's true.
Which he looked exactly like anyway. So maybe they shouldn't have drawn him that way if they were going to call him that way.
Right. So when they were calling him Knight Rider, not with a K, but with just N-I-G-H-T, they were actually alluding to the fact that he was a Klansman.
That's right. Yeah, he carried a demon that was in the shape of a burning cross. That's a joke, people. Yeah, it's a joke. That didn't really happen. But yeah, I'm just saying.
Go on.
So, I mean, honestly, the time span between the two is less than you'd think, right? It's only like 67 to 72. So, Phantom Rider had – I don't even know how many issues, but he was a fairly popular Western comic at the time. And then all of a sudden, once that – the sort of legal status, the public perception thing flipped, they took that opportunity and took straight away to make him a supernatural sort of cult hero and retconned the other guy straight out of the gate. So I don't really know what we all know the precipitation for the change, but it was certainly fast and quick, and they took that character straight away from people who had written it for a couple of years.
I think the immediacy of the character's need was that once the gates were open for supernatural characters, they were super hot. Everyone needed one.
And don't forget, this is at the same time that they're getting the blaxploitation characters, etc. Kung Fu movies are coming out, so you get Iron Fist and Shang-Chi, And don't forget how popular frickin' Evil Knievel was at the time.
That's true.
He was.
Yeah. And, I mean, getting rid of the two-gun Klansman for a superhero, for a supernatural superhero, certainly makes great sense. Yeah. And now I know I'm going to go. I'm tangenting. I'm all over the place tonight. But I'm going to talk about one of our favorite guys. And this is a real guy. I'm not even talking about comics here.
I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Doug Danger.
Doug Danger.
Doug Danger.
Or Dangerous Doug Senecal. A stuntman who grew up in our hometown of almost or of 75% of us and right next to 25% of us. Doug was such a good stuntman and an amazing human being. If you've ever met Doug, he is salt of the earth, one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. And he is the pinnacle of bad PR, right? So in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest ramp-to-ramp motorcycle jump, there is a picture of Evil Knievel's son failing to beat Doug's record. Now, if you are a marketing guy, you have failed Doug Senecal.
A lot of people failed Doug Senecal.
Now, but I mean, even above and beyond, I mean, Evil Knievel is an amazing human being. He did amazing things. Doug Senecal got into an accident so bad that he was in a coma for 8 months. And when he woke up, he did not know how to ride a motorcycle. And after that, he rode a motorcycle again to teach himself well enough and still broke 3 Guinness records after being in that coma. And my tangent there, my friends, is done. Let's go back to Ghost Rider. Owns a bar in Three Rivers.
Does Ghost Rider have any records in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Wait a second.
No.
Ghost Rider owns a bar in Three Rivers?
Yeah.
If Ghost Rider was going to own a bar, it would be in Three Rivers.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Bingo.
We should go have a drink at Doug's place.
Hell yeah.
We should.
That's a pretty good synopsis. I mean, there are alternate versions. There's Ghost Rider 2099. There's the Punisher version of Ghost Rider that shows up later. There's also a couple other alternate versions. But if we go down that rabbit hole, we'll be here all night. Instead, let's go to some of our favorite arcs or storylines. Let's start with you, Big Mike. Mikey, what's your favorite Ghost Rider storyline?
Don't steal mine.
Don't worry, I won't. Because I'm going to talk about Ghost Rider, The Trail of Tears, from 2007 by one of my favorite writers, Garth Ennis. It is a look at Ghost Rider from the Old West. Ha ha, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the Phantom Rider. I'm talking about the Ghost Rider, because in this one, it is a demon who is actually a African slave who has earned his freedom and paid for him and his family during the Civil War. They saved the life of a guy, a Confederate soldier. And then after the war ends, his family is killed in a very brutal way. And he makes a deal with an African devil to get vengeance upon him. And it is a great morality tale where they talk about the actual horrors of war and how that seeking vengeance, no matter how wronged you were, will destroy your soul. It's a very poignant and a very, you know, anti-war message that they have, and an anti-vengeance message that they have too. Very well done. It's only 6 issues. You can pick it up on Comixology for like, you know, $12 or something like that. I think it's actually on sale for $8 or $9. Well worth the pickup. It's better than I was actually got it because I found a Garth Ennis Johnny Blaze series from Marvel Knights, which I thought was going to be excellent. But turned out the Trail of Tears was an even better series.
I was worried you were about to steal Josh's. Let's go over to you, LT, and give another chance to steal Josh's. Go ahead.
Well, I really like the 70s Ghost Rider, but I had a feeling that Josh was going to choose some of that. So I chose Ghost Rider Volume 1, Vicious Cycle by Daniel Way and Javier Salteras. And that is a story of Ghost Rider. He's stuck in hell. He convinces a demon to get him out of hell. He gets out of hell. The demon ends up being the devil. He has been suckered into getting the devil out of hell. The devil has taken up residence into 666 recently dead corpses and is wrecking havoc, killing people, stealing souls, doing what the devil does only in a physical way on the earth where he shouldn't be physical. And Ghost Rider has to stop him and is killing off these manifestations of the devil one by one. And it had some great artwork and was a pretty decent storyline.
Quick question. Was that Johnny Blaze as the Ghost Rider, or was that Robbie Reyes or one of the other ones?
It was Johnny Blaze. Hmm.
When did this series come out?
It came out in 2006 to 2009.
Did he get them all?
I haven't read the whole thing, but I read the first couple of volumes and he was kept getting them off one by one. It was a good story.
It's a lot to get through.
It is a lot to get through. There's a lot of devil out there.
Yeah.
A lot of devil in the world, people.
Well, let's go to...
And he does in one of the books, kill Doctor Strange. Because he thinks he's the devil.
My mama said Doctor Strange is the devil.
Doctor Strange basically brings him into his... absconds him and brings him into a cemetery. Johnny Blaze thinks it's a devil trying to trick him and attacks him and kills him.
Absconds? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Really? You're happy with that choice of words?
As happy as I can be when in your presence.
Okay. Good answer. All right, well, my favorite run is – everyone knows what my favorite run is. I love the Champions of L.A. As, you know, comic books go, is it the best drawn? Is it the best written? No, but it just hit me just right. Written by a friend of the podcast, Tony Isabella, I just really enjoyed this weird mix of characters. You got the Angel, you got Iceman, you got Black Widow, you got Hercules, and you got the Ghost Rider. And a couple other people kind of cycle through now and then. Fun comic book. They never really get their own rogues gallery. They fight a few villains that only show up there, like the Swarm and a few other people. But mostly they hit mainstays like the Stranger and supernatural entities that Dr. Strange has fought. And I'm also really, really enjoying Spirits of Vengeance right now. Anyone reading Spirits of Vengeance?
Nope.
All right, then fine. You should. Spirits of Vengeance is one of my least favorite characters is in it, and that would be Blade the Vampire Hunter. But fortunately, he doesn't talk very much, so it's okay. Santanish, which I've always liked, just because of the costume mostly, I suppose. Hellstrom, Son of Satan, and Johnny Blaze. A fun supernatural comic book. Maybe they're trying to get on Justice League Dark's coattails with this. They're finding the bullets that were made out of the silver that was given to Judas to betray Jesus, because those bullets made out of silver can kill an angel permanently, kind of a very powerful weapon in the universe. And someone has gathered enough pieces to actually make a missile. So they're going to make a God-killing missile out of all of the silver that was paid to Judas. Well, maybe not a God-killing missile, but at least a lot of angel-killing missiles. So, Josh, what is your favorite Ghost Rider story arc?
So this might be more nostalgic than accurate. So way back in the day when we first started hanging out together and myself reading comics, Danny Ketch became the Ghost Rider, right? So it was 1990 or so. Mike and... 50% of this podcast had put me onto the X-Men early in the days, and I loved it. I mean, I, you know, became ensorcelled by the X-Men at the time. And then I started searching for, you know, sort of my own ticker tape, and I don't know if Mike talked about this, but I picked up Danny Ketch number one. I have probably the first 200 issues of the Danny Ketch series of Ghost Rider. I collected the entire thing. And it was one of those comics where I was trying to sort of, you know, find something interesting and new. And I sort of settled into it in a very easygoing, sort of mundane way where I enjoyed the character, but the comic never really, I was never super excited about it, but I was willing to buy it anyway. And then I believe it was sometime around the mid-20s for that series where Ghost Rider had an X-Men crossover that involved the Brood. And it was like 25, Ghost Rider 25 or 27, and it was just goddamn brilliant. I was just so excited to see the X-Men in there, the Brood and everything, and see sort of like the comparison of how Ghost Rider sort of, you know, rode the bike and had his powers, and really just kind of see how he was not the motorcycle riding slacker that had like some magical gaze and a chain, and how he was just super dominant in the comic, and they sort of level set him against the X-Men in a way that surprised me, where he was so much more powerful than pretty much all of the X-Men, and I was like, yeah. And then what solidified that series for me, and don't get me wrong, I was on the verge of breaking up with Ghost Rider, like you didn't take me to prom, and you're not very interesting, and I don't love you anymore. And then issue number 33 happened, and it brought together one of my favorite villains.
Stiltman?
And Ghost Rider. What?
Stiltman?
Not one of your favorite villains.
The Unicorn?
Negative, Ghost Rider. Tom, any guesses?
Well, obviously it's Batroc.
Madcap.
Oh, Madcap, that's a good one, yeah. And they were a good villain combo.
Madcap comes in, and for the listeners who don't know who Madcap is, he is a complete psychotic who regenerates almost instantly. He wears a clown costume, and he does chaotic evil things all the time. So Ghost Rider actually gives Madcap the penance stare, and Madcap laughs it off like a sumbitch, because he's like, that is delicious pain, and I love it. And yeah, Ghost Rider's like, I don't know what to do about this. And that issue, that sort of reboot, Danny Ketch, the reboot of Ghost Rider in the early 2000s, issue number 33 versus Madcap is sort of what solidified me to follow him for the next couple of years. And I loved that book. Loved it. It was the whole series was interesting. It was fun. I loved the new powers. I love the new, like, super modern bike. Like, it was something. And if at that time, if you know the first Tron movie, like you were talking about, like speed bikes going up hills, or you know, straight up, you know, skyscrapers. It was a cool modern take on what had happened before, and it sort of like blended in with a bunch of other stuff at the time. And I really liked it. I just enjoyed it. Loved the new bike. I love Danny Ketch. And for those who read on years later, it was nice to see those guys circle back to Danny Ketch and in the Marvel Universe propose how powerful Ghost Rider was at the time, because Johnny Blaze at the time was – what's the demon's name? He was bonded to the demon.
Zarathos.
Zarathos, and you find out later that Danny Ketch is not bonded to Zarathos at all. He is actually bonded to the Marvel Universe version of the Angel of Death, and they have a mutual relationship where Johnny Blaze was sort of imprisoned by that spirit. Danny Ketch takes on, basically discards the lower hell and brings on the Angel of Death, and he is a much more powerful soul/entity in the Marvel Universe than Johnny Blaze ever was. And I love that evolution. He basically becomes an epic level soul, especially as far as the X-Men and Mephistopheles and the entire universe is concerned.
Yeah. So yeah, we did. Does he almost become like a Spectre analog?
He he's pretty close, honestly. At the end, so in the beginning, he's one of those characters like Johnny Blaze where he can only be if there's violence. But when they move to the Danny Ketch modality, it's only if innocent blood is spilt, and then it's only if violence occurs. And then eventually he can exert his own will, become the Angel of Death. So
yeah, one thing we didn't talk about is exactly how powerful Ghost Rider becomes. Doctor Strange at one point says he's the most powerful being in the Marvel Universe.
That's the Danny Ketch. That's
the Danny Ketch.
When he's bonded to the demon, they're trying to break him. And in later issues in the Danny Ketch run, Doctor Strange is trying to figure out how to match him with a human persona that's, you know, where Danny Ketch can actually modulate that into something positive for the entire Marvel Universe. And that's when he says, hey, this guy is so much more powerful than we can imagine. We need to do something about this. And how do we modulate that? And how do we manage Ketch and the Angel of Death?
And another quick
point. It's a great storyline in that same series. And it's super late. It's almost at the end of the series. It's way into 2007. It's probably 100, you know, more than 100 issues in for that reboot.
Yeah, I think the cool thing about Ghost Rider is there's been numerous Ghost Riders, but each one of them is bonded to a different entity. Although they all have the same motifs or something similar to that, they're all unique entities of themselves. Even though they're called Ghost Rider, you know, their reasons behind it are different, right?
And different power sets. Some of them wield the chain, kind of like just a chain. Others have the chain move independently or can shape it into a spear. Or it can even have the chain break off and become shrapnel and fly at enemies. The pendant stare kind of comes and goes. Ghost Rider at one point has a Hellfire double-barreled shotgun. And let's not forget how cool the bike is. And not only is it cool, but it can be anything he's driving. Case in point, of course, the giant muscle car, which I think is really cool too.
I do not.
You don't think the muscle car is cool? I like the muscle car.
Wait, and also, he's at some points he's used the bike as a weapon.
Oh yeah,
at some points,
it's basically
a lot of points.
Mystical battering ram, yeah.
But I mean, even when he isn't riding it, he's used it as a weapon. He's controlled it mentally, and used it as a weapon.
But that was mostly about the television series. Is that what
you're talking about? There's also the comic book where he's got the car too.
Yeah, that's Robbie Reyes. He's got a Dodge Charger.
I don't know the Reyes series at all.
It's really good.
It's actually pretty good. Yeah, he's a good character, and he is bonded with the soul of his uncle, who was a serial killer, and is using him to escape from hell. But he's able to control it and seek vengeance against people who have wronged him.
I believe the actual demon that he's bonded to is actually bonded to the car in this one.
Yeah, I think so.
And there's a couple of cool things about having it be a car. One of the coolest thing is the trunk is a teleportation portal. He can throw people in the trunk.
And
have he can throw them into the trunk and have them appear in Idaho.
My trunk is just like that, my cartoon.
That's cool.
Having all had right. My first car be a Mopar product, I can understand where it could be a vehicle from hell.
Now, my wife is always like, there's no way there's more room in your trunk than in my SUV, and I always prove her wrong. My trunk is enormous.
How much stuff does she stuff in your trunk, Josh?
Just a few people who should have gone to hell.
Or are probably going to hell for getting into your trunk in the first place. Bada bing, bada boom. All right, let's go for some last words on Ghost Rider. One of the reasons I've always thought that one of my last words is going to be this. In gaming terms, I think the reason he's so powerful is because of the dump stat. People don't put a ton into their willpower saves in the Marvel Universe. Physical saves, Wolverine being an exception, Rogue being an exception. A lot of people don't have like super willpower. They're attacked by something like the Pendant Stare, and they fold faster than the Flash does on laundry day.
Certainly, he is one of the people who would punk Superman in a heartbeat.
Boom!
Ha! Pow. Just how you like me now. Pen and stare, bitch.
Boom. Ow. And also I wanted to mention before, the Illuminati, which Doctor Strange was a part of, is a little bit afraid of how powerful the Ghost Rider is, because the Ghost Rider is geared to protect the innocent. And yeah, no one on the Illuminati considers any other member of the Illuminati as completely innocent.
I can defeat them all because I have all of Mike's Illuminati cards, and I'm not worried about it.
Boom. But Mike, what's your last word?
Shit.
The first Ghost Rider movie is not nearly as bad as you think it is.
It is. No,
no,
I
no
think,
it's not. No,
I think it is.
I will argue it is a Western, not a superhero movie, and they do it very well. Don't you turn your back on me, Josh.
Josh, turn that chair around, you son of a bitch.
You Josh, listen to me ghost... when I tell you that Ghost Rider is not that bad a movie.
Oh, my God. Hear me out, guys. If Josh were the Ghost Rider right now, his little chair there that he's sitting in would be flaming, and that would be the Ghost Rider vehicle. If Ghost Rider was some, like, no-name office-level guy, like, you took my stapler, I'm going to become the Ghost Rider!
That would be the Ghost Stapler.
Yeah, the Ghost Stapler. I'd the be Ghost Stapler. Stapler.
I would watch that.
I would watch that movie. I'm totally watching that movie.
So
he was driving the giant tractor trailer truck backhoe thing, and it became his Ghost Rider vehicle. That was awesome for a couple of seconds. Fuck everything, yeah. Right? Okay, go ahead, Tommy.
So instead of chains, Josh would have a string of paper clips.
Actually, that's pretty funny. This is my giant rubber band ball of penance. I'm going to bounce off your head now, bonk, and now you're doomed.
Stress reliever.
I am all powerful.
I am all powerful.
He seeks vengeance on those who eat other people's lunches out of the refrigerator.
That lunchbox definitely had my name on it.
That lunchbox is very warm. It is very warm.
Definitely not your yogurt.
That was my Go-Gurt. Go-Gurt would have been funnier. Go-Gurt's always funnier.
True, Go-Gurt.
Mikey, what do you got? Get us out of this, man. What do you got at the front of the long box for me?
At the front of the long box, I have a suggestion from none other than a friend of the podcast, Josh Opper. It's called Grass Kings by Boom Studios. It's written by Matt Kint and art by Tyler Jenkins. In essence, it is also kind of a Western, but it's set in modern times, where a group of citizens of a town have declared themselves their own town, and a stranger comes in seeking aid and sanctuary in the city, and what results in a conflict between the people of the city who want to be left alone and the city right next door, who believe that they are all unlaw-abiding citizens. It also has a underlying story arc of a serial killer who has been killing people for years and getting away with it. It's very interesting. If you're a fan of Matt Kint, I'd recommend it. If you are into superheroes, this is not your book. These are just regular weird people. Josh, what did you? You're the one who recommended it to me. What do you think about the series?
I think it's sort of allegorical to a post-apocalyptic slash. I think if you really like, what's the zombie series that's completely like the super popular thing that
Walking
everybody
Dead.
Loves.
Walking Dead.
Yeah, if you like The Walking Dead, and you like that sort of post-apocalyptic, the adjustment of society to things that are lacking, it really has that same sort of pace and talk about that that what's his name has for the Walking Dead. I love Matt Kent. I love his comics. Him and Cullen Bunn make some great sci-fi, and this is sort of a downshift into a very reality-based comic where everything in the world has gone wrong and real people have to make real decisions about life would be like when you have limited resources. So I think if you're if you like survivalist stuff, if you like zombie comics, I think you're really gonna enjoy this book. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't think you're wrong at all, my friend.
Yeah, I think that's spot on.
Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box today?
I also have a Boom Studios comic book, but it's one that Josh will probably hate. It's okay. Called Interesting Drug by Sean Manning and Anna Weissick. And it is a story of an average Joe named Andy who stopped going to college and is working at a Best Buy, and he's been there way too long. He's been there for like 7 years. And he keeps getting harassed by weirdos, and it's his birthday. And a guy comes and says, I'm from the future, and you have created a drug that allows people to go back in time, and you're going to change the world. And Andy's like, okay, great. Another weirdo's here. Fantastic. And the guy says, no, it's true. And he shoves a pill down his throat and says, remember London. And Andy is immediately transformed back into his childhood when he took a family trip to London. And he's like, that's weird. And the guy hands him a bunch of the pills and says, here's my info. Give me a call, you know, because you've changed the world and we got to do it. And he ends up doing this. He creates this drug that allows people to travel back in their own timelines and relive their own memories and go back in time. They can't really affect anything, but that's kind of the basis. And people get addicted to doing this, and it kind of ruins a lot of society. And the whole reason that Tristan, this guy from the future, is doing this is that he actually is the one that invented the drug, and he's trying to get Andy to change it so that he can go back beyond his own timeline and change history and live and take over and actually affect the things. And it was a really great story. I really enjoyed it. And I think Josh is going to hate it because he hates time travel, but it was really good and well written and well done.
Well, it sounds awful.
It sounds awful, but it was pretty good.
Josh and I are on the same page on that one. I really dislike the timeline stuff. The whole Flash TV show kind of went off the rails for me when they started doing the timeline stuff. By the way, the last three episodes of The Flash have been awesome!
Yeah, because it's got the elongated man in it.
That guy is so good as Digby. God damn it. And bringing Prank back, that was all terrific. But I'm going off on a tangent, and that's Josh's purview. Josh, what's your tangent?
So I had a couple of tangents in mind when we first started this, and I completely forgot what they were.
Something about the CDC, I think.
Yeah. So not long ago, I mean, in all of our pretty close relative lifespans within the past 5 years, I got sick, and I ended up in the hospital for 3 or 4 days where I had to chug a bunch of slimy yellow lemon-flavored liquid to have abdominal CAT scans done for me day after day. And the CDC, it was salmonella. So salmonella is one of the objective diseases that the CDC keeps a very close eye on. And it was my purview that I assumed that it would be the response from them would be relatively brief and without incident, right? Like you don't think that the CDC is going to have like this big overarching reaction to you shitting your brains out and puking in a toilet. And really what happened was the CDC was amazing. I have never encountered, and Mike, I apologize for this, a government agency that
Go on.
That really killed it. These guys killed it.
Josh, trust me, sometimes Mike's agency kills it too.
I'm sure they do without my knowledge, and that's fine. These guys, I mean, seriously, tracked everything down to the minute and hour. I got a written report from the CDC after several interviews of every publicly purchased food product I had eaten in like the past 142 hours, back down to the guy who packaged it at the factory. I mean, like, I was like astounded. Like, I had never even seen efficiency from a government agency before that was impressive. And these guys killed it. So if you guys ever have any kind of problem, like, with anything you find that's seriously a communicable, like, an agency where these guys, I was like, wow. They literally handed me a written report that said, you know, John Smith in Eastern Ohio at this factory packaged the meat that you ate the day before you got sick. Like, this was impressive. Like, this was like fucking like past. I was so impressed. I was like, holy shit, how does this even happen? Like, I was like, I was blown away. I was blown away by the CDC. And that's why, once again, The Walking Dead, fuck those guys, because the CDC would have been like, I got this.
So your tangent is a CDC promo.
Fucking A. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody who works at the CDC, if any of you guys listen to this podcast, you guys are fucking awesome.
If you are a government agency and you'd like to sponsor us like the CDC has, you can contact us at LuckyBastard@TheLongBoxGuys.
If you want to support us, you can go to our Patreon account. We gladly accept CDC funding.
Damn right we will. They got deep pockets.
For a mere $1 a month, you can support the Long Box Guys, or for $2, you can be an executive member of the Long Box Guys. Tom, tell everybody about the Patreon account.
Well, you can go to the Patreon account by going to patreon.com/TheLongBoxGuys. There you can see all the benefits that you can get. Now, for $2 a month, and you only have to do it for a month to get this benefit. I'm hoping you'll stay for more than that. But for one lousy month, give us $2 and you get to come on the pot. You get to come on before or after we're recording this and have a drink with us. We will have a drink with you. You have to supply your own drink. We will talk to you on Skype. We'll tell you what we're about to record. And we'll get a little bit of input from you guys about what's going on with the Long Box Guys. And we'll just chat with you. How awesome would that be? I also want to just give I usually do a quick bit on social justice. Yeah. I'd like to say whoever hasn't, and by God, you guys should all have seen it by now, the first two episodes of Black Lightning have been insanely good. Get the CW app so you can watch it. Not only is it a great representation of, superheroes in a culture that we don't normally see, this is like the first really all African-American cast that we've seen outside of the Luke Cage comic book series on Netflix. It's a great representation, and it's one of the best representations of African-American homosexuality that I've ever seen done, tastefully done. The daughter has a girlfriend. There's a lot of inclusion in this one, and there's also a lot of great social justice commentary in this one. So please go see it.
There's a lot of family values in it.
Damn right.
Also, I got to say, I am going to apologize because I was complaining about the lack of the Fro mask from the first episode. And in the second episode, they totally shut me down because they explain that looking at Black Lightning's face because of all the electricity is like looking at a light bulb, and it's painful. And I thought, wow, that is some brilliant writing. Too bad that later on in that episode, everybody's staring right at him going, hey, Black Lightning, and staring him in the face.
But you can't see his face.
Well, he does have that, like, horror movie thing going.
You can't see his face. Yeah. You can look at him, but you can't see his features.
Oh, all right.
That's the implication.
Okay.
I'm going to ride that out.
Sure. I'll buy that.
And I got to say, I have enjoyed the Blight, both episodes so far. What I worry about is that my internet connection is dying. Or Tom, are you just staring?
I'm just messing
monitor?
With you. I'm just messing with
okay.
you.
Okay. Fuck you, you fucking fuck. So what I worry about is that Black Lightning is going to fall into the same trope as a lot of the other CW series. And the trope that they have fallen into in a lot of the CW series drives me away. I get that there are moments where I am super excited to see things about the DC universe on any moving media. But for the most part, those series drive me insane and make me want to just scream into the void as to why did you do that? Why would you make that decision? And you're just taking the DC universe away from me in some sort of way.
I'm a little worried about the addiction storyline that they've been plugging away at the Black Lightning. Black Lightning's wife is a neurologist, and she believes that Black Lightning is addicted, and I'm using air quotes there, you can't see it, but right. I am, and that he's addicted to this power. So they're going to use some sort of odd addiction storyline.
Yeah, there's
going
to be some parallel to, and for, as far as like, you know, modern, you know, degraded culture is concerned, there's the heroin addiction thing, and they're going to make some parallel to that, and it's going to be unnecessary, and it's probably going to be gratuitous and probably not be what we want to see from that character or even from the storyline that he's producing. And I understand the fact that it's so prevalent now. It's really the drug story of the new generation, where we have to deal with the fact that heroin is so inexpensive. I mean, multicolored carrots by the pound are more expensive than heroin at this point. And I get that a lot of people don't like multicolored carrots, and they're sort of harder to steam. But let's be serious. This is not something we need to compare to what we're doing today, except when I do it.
So let's talk quickly about Black Lightning's addiction to being Black Lightning. I think the actor, Cress Williams, who is portraying this, is doing an excellent job. Not only do I love seeing a superhero our age, but
he is a little old.
Yeah, bitches. That guy's not 30 or 25.
He's
going to
be great lightning at some point, baby.
When he is Black Lightning, his body language changes. He gets happier. He loves doing it. And afterwards, you can see the effects of the electricity are ravaging his body. So when they talk about the addiction, you can see that his character actually transforms and gets happier. When he is Black Lightning, he is literally enjoying being Black Lightning because the electricity is sending positive messages to his brain. It's releasing those endorphins while he's doing it, and afterwards he suffers the withdrawal effects or the effects of that drug. I think that's actually going to be a phenomenal storyline where he, in order to save his neighborhood, is going to destroy himself.
But in the same vein, we do the same thing as older guys.
Yeah, well, for this podcast, we're totally destroying our livers. And we do that because we love the Long Box Legion.
That's fucking Lily, right? Unfortunately, it's super similar in a way. That's where we do what we need to do to be where we want to be.
Hey, this is Mike, the producer, in post-production. I am about to save you guys from an 8-minute drunken rant by Josh. You're welcome. And now back to the podcast.
And I'm,
plus, he's got a philosophy degree. Can you tell?
I have a degree in philosophy.
Holy shit, what a diatribe that was.
Deal with it, motherfucker.
Nice. All right, let's go on to plugs. Mike, what do you got to plug?
I think everybody should go see Eddie and the Whirlpools over in Pensacon Wednesday night. Or excuse me,
Are
Thursday
you going to see Eddie and the Whirlpools?
Shut your fucking yap. Of course I am.
You're not. No, you're going to be a day late.
You're going to be a day late.
Shut up,
Day late.
So I think everybody should see Eddie and the Whirlpools Thursday night, 8 o'clock at the Back Porch Bar in Pensacon, right before the kickoff to Pensacon. And everybody should go see us in Pensacon.
Everyone should go to Pensacon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing four different panels there. Come by and see us. If you get a chance, come out and have a drink with us, for God's sakes.
Oh, for God's sakes, have a drink with us. Anybody who emails, what's that email, Tommy?
Lucky Bastard.
Lucky Bastard at thelongboxguys.com?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, LG.
If you email that, Joshua, on weekend, I will buy you a drink.
Joshua's the guy who's closer to becoming a millionaire in our group.
That's
he will buy you a drink. Hell, I'll buy you a drink. That's two drinks. Mike, are you in?
Sure, I'll have a drink.
All right. Tommy, you in?
Sure.
Sure.
Really? You cheap bastard, really? Yeah. All right. Yeah. If you email us, you're guaranteed four free drinks.
Yeah,
for
what are we doing
with that
here in Bobo?
What?
At Pensacon, what are we as the Longbox guys doing for Adrian Barbeau?
Whatever she asks us to do.
Yeah, okay, just checking.
All right.
Adrian, if you're listening now.
Which we're sure you're not.
We're sure you're not.
Absolutely
positive. We're
not. But if anybody knows Adrian Barbeau and they're listening, for this on, and I'm willing to buy every alcoholic drink Adrian Barbeau's for the entire Pensacon weekend.
I'm sorry.
Just in case. What?
You're willing to get Adrian Barbeau drunk.
Every drink Adrian Barbeau orders, I will buy.
I'm going to tweet that straight to her tonight.
Right out.
And you know what? I'm in. I'm splitting the cost with you because I love her.
I don't care.
Cannonball Run has affected me deeply.
She should go to McGuire's with us to have
Oh, my God. That's
a steak and some drinks.
Yes. I'm emailing her tonight, guys.
Yeah, do
Tommy,
it all.
You got anyone you want to plug besides Adrian Barbeau?
I would like to plug our good friends at the CDC. Thank you, CDC, for sponsoring tonight's podcast.
Way to go, CDC.
We also should thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You could check
them
out.
They're going to be down there, right?
They are going to probably be at Dragon Con, but they are not going to be at Pensacon.
Yeah, Dragon Con, not Pensacon.
Oh, Crackle's not going to be there?
No.
Aw, that's super sad.
But you can go to Kirby Crackle Music and check them out if you want. Also, we should thank our good friends at geekorthodoxy.com.
They're gonna
geekorthodox.com.
Thank you for correcting me. Geekorthodox.com, who will be at Pensacon.
Yeah.
The best cosplayer vendors you're going to see at Pensacon.
Yeah, play it out on Thursday. Have a dinner with us on Friday.
When they do their Spaceballs cosplay, it is something.
That is the greatest thing ever.
It might be the best cosplay ever.
One of the best of all time.
Princess Vespa and her stunt double.
And the stunt double is amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. Those guys are fantastic. We love them. I can't wait to see them down in Pensacola, Florida.
All right. So speaking of Pensacola, Florida, and the golfer carts, which we just plugged today on our thing, Josh, the gopher carts. Now, surely you and your dog.
Certainly me and my dog absolutely believe 100% that is my fucking – that is my sector.
That has to be. And Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Great. And LT?
You could sponsor this podcast. You could help keep us in booze and comics, bringing our stories to you.
Our sweet blues.
You could help support us to support you. For just the cost of a cup of coffee a day.
A cup of coffee a day? Where the hell are you getting a cup of coffee a day?
I'm getting it at Starbucks. It's fucking expensive at Starbucks.
No, a dollar? You can support us for a dollar a day, guys.
And mostly the Patreon is actually a dollar a month, by the way, the way you set it up.
Dollar a month? For God, a dollar a month? What the hell? 12 bucks
a month? To buy airtime, Josh.
That's how you have it set up.
They wanted to buy airtime.
Yeah. That is how I have it set up.
For a dollar a month.
Yeah.
I have to say, Tom.
We get 20,000 people. We're set.
Yeah. Do you know who's going to be at Pensacon?
Ray Parks is going to be at Pensacon?
Do you know who's going to be at Pensacon?
Yes.
Adrian Barbeau?
That's right. Pete.
Yes, that's right. Pete and Pete. The original Pete and Pete are going to be at Pensacon.
So the most important thing we're going to do at Pensacon is challenge Pete and Pete to rock, scissors, paper.
Gotta get done.
That is a fucking priority.
I would really like to arm wrestle Arnie.
This podcast, Arnie's not there.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Oh, we're talking about one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Murder you dead.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
The TV show Pete and Pete on Nickelodeon?
Oh, I'm sorry, my balls dropped in the 80s. I don't know any fucking Nickelodeon shows.
I am coming for you, bitch.
I'm older than you. My balls didn't drop until the 90s. That's why I watched Pete and Pete.
There was a TV show called Pete and Pete. Pete was the older brother, and Pete was the younger brother. Maybe you heard of him. Pete and Pete.
No.
In their neighborhood. In their neighborhood was an ice cream guy, but Arnie, and he was the world's strongest man.
And that's going to do it for us. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate, just like Mike just did with Stan Lee. Just promote what you love. Especially. My name is Tom. That's Josh. That's Mike. That's LT. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Love you. Bye. We melt the highway miles away like sunfire. No stopping tonight.
I came up with the worst Sith Lord ever, Darth Tidious. You would have the gray lightsaber.
This guy again. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. I need you to fill out your TPS 14 forms.
If you
strike me down, I will become more annoying than you can ever imagine.
Triplicate.
Tommy, are you Darth Tidious?
Are you Darth Tidious?
I may be disfigured by this cheap whiskey by the end of the night. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.